Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies are so iconic that I just say Famous Amos and it's like I can taste it. Each cookie is filled with semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. And the word satisfying is very key there because some cookies are crunchy and brittle, and I don't like that. But Famous Amos has a deep, tooth-sinkable, satisfying crunch that I know and love. And Famous Amos classic bite-sized chocolate chip cookies are bringing back the original recipe that everyone knows and loves. One perfect bite, everything classic in a cookie. Find Famous Amos cookies anywhere you buy your favorite snacks. Hey guys, so I'm in LA right now, and I'm actually right outside of my hotel, right by LAX, Los Angeles International Airport. And, well, before we get to today's show, you know, a lot of times people write to me and they say, I'm starting a podcast, Dan. Can you tell me, like, what kind of microphone do you use? What kind of recorder do you use? How do you get good sound in your podcast? Well, I'm going to let you in on one secret. Always record near an airport. Hi. How are you? Yeah, just a guy on the side of the highway talking to himself into a microphone. Nothing you haven't seen before. So, what's going on here today? I have a day to kill in LA. I came out here for some Sporkful tapings. I have an extra day, and I have decided to go on an adventure. And I've decided to take you with me. Where are we going? I don't know. I don't have a plan. That's why it's an adventure. But here's what I can tell you. I'm going to find some good food, and I'm going to make some new friends. And I mean, I think it would be fun if at some point things got a little weird, right? I mean, it's an adventure, okay? So I have taken the liberty of Googling Weird LA just a minute ago. And the first result is from Atlas Obscura. Great website. Love Atlas Obscura. They highlight all different kinds of obscure locations around the world. Atlas Obscura. And this is 166 cool and unusual things to do in Los Angeles, California. Okay, let's bring this up here. Number one, the Echo Park Time Travel Mart. Nonprofit time travel mart sells goods you would need for a trip through the fourth dimension. Wow. Well, that's very weird and sounds kind of delightful. So I guess let's head in that direction first. After that, though, I don't know where the road's going to take us. But there is one place we have to make sure we hit up. Patty's Restaurant in Toluca Lake near Burbank. Longtime listeners, you will remember that I interviewed Andy Richter a while back, Conan O'Brien's sidekick, and we went to Patty's. It was his choice. It's one of his favorite spots. And it's an old school LA diner, been there since the 60s. I walked in, I got there before Andy, and I remember seeing on the counter at Patty's this beautiful coconut cake, bright white, shining like a beacon. And it was huge. One of those diner-sized, giant, triple-decker cakes with the bright white frosting and the coconut shavings all on the outside. It looked ridiculous. And I am a sucker for a good coconut cake, okay? One of my favorites. So I said, I'm definitely going to get that when this taping's over, right? No question. Andy Richter arrives. We sit down. We order a meal. We have a nice conversation. But I mean, I ate an omelet and hash browns and English muffin and coffee and all that. And at this point, I wasn't feeling so hungry anymore. And I said to myself, you know, Dan, you don't need that cake. Don't get the cake. And I left. Well, you can see where this is going. A few hours later, I end up back in my hotel, furious with myself. Why didn't I get the cake? I didn't have to eat the cake just then. I could have put it in my bag. I could have it right now in my hotel room. It was haunting me. What a mistake. 2 days later, I go to visit my friends, Kenny and Missy. And it didn't occur to me until I got to their house that they lived right down the street from Patty's. So I said, listen, you guys, I told them the story of the coconut cake. I said, I got to run down the street. I got to get the coconut cake. So I walk down the street, walk in the door of Patty's. I don't see the cake there on the counter. I said, you guys have that coconut cake? Nope, not today. I was beside myself. And so, you know, that's unfinished business for me here in LA. So I'm going to go to Patty's today and I'm going to find that coconut cake. I'm going to find that cake. Okay, here comes my Lyft. Looks like my driver's name is Yahil.
Okay.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
All right. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. And I'm in a Lyft riding through Los Angeles. And my first guest on the show today is Yehiel. Hey, Yehiel.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. So, we're going to Echo Park, I think.
Yeah.
What did you have for breakfast today?
I normally eat waffles with banana.
Okay. What are they, like homemade waffles or like the frozen waffles?
No, I buy them at like Costco.
Okay.
You know, it's not a homemade.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, it's a healthy waffle that has a lot of fiber in it.
Right. And you eat waffle every day for breakfast?
Every day.
How long have you been doing that?
Maybe for the last 5-6 years.
Really?
Yes.
And you have it exactly the same every time?
Well, you know, I sometimes mix the banana with ginger.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Yes.
Are you a person who likes routine? You like to do the same thing?
That's a good question. I'm very conservative. When I see something that works for me, I'll stick with it.
And what do you think that says about you?
It's very hard for me to explain in English, but you know, I like things to be, you know, like I want them to be.
Wait, you said it's hard for you to explain in English. What language do you speak?
Oh, I'm from Israel.
What made you want to move here?
Oh, that's a long story.
Well, the GPS says we have 17 minutes till we get there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You heard about the Yom Kippur War.
The Yom Kippur War, yes, 1973?
73, yeah. I was in that war. I was a tank mechanic, so I was 8 months straight in the army. After the war, I said, you know, enough is enough. So I landed in New York, and I was 3 weeks in New York. It was a winter time.
How old were you?
I was about 25, I think. And then I said, you know, I'm coming to Los Angeles, and I'm here since then. What else you want to know?
So this place I'm going to, it's called the Echo Park Time Travel Mart. It's a store where you buy things that you can use if you're going to travel through time.
Oh, okay.
If you traveled through time, where would you go?
Where would I go?
Yeah.
I was already there. And I'm not kidding.
Where?
You know, you heard about the Kotel in Jerusalem, right?
The Kotel, that's the Western Wall, yes.
You ever been in the cave under the Kotel?
Yeah, that's like the single most amazing thing I ever saw when I was in
Israel. You know, that's going back 3,000 years ago.
Right, that's true.
So
yeah, it's like, you know, you go there and there's these tunnels that are underground. You know, Jerusalem is so old that people
that's
come.
That's 3,000 years.
And they build a new city on top, and then that city gets destroyed. And over thousands of years, they build a new city and then a new city. And if you go down in the tunnels,
yes,
you can see these giant rocks that the Romans, when the Romans
before
were trying,
the Romans.
They were trying to destroy,
yeah,
the buildings in Jerusalem. And they took the the rocks and bricks off the top of the building and threw them down to the ground. Back, the ground of 3,000 years ago, which is now
that's
three stories
underground, time.
Right?
Right.
If you were going to travel back in time, what food would you pack to bring with you?
Matzahs.
Matzahs?
Yes.
You don't have to go back to Moses crossing the desert, Yehiel. You
What's
can go back
good?
To a different time.
You know, people matzahs all during the whole year.
Well, yeah, I like matzah. I'm not going to knock matzah. It's a delicious cracker. I just, like, you know, you're traveling through time, Yehiel. You don't know exactly. You're going to an unknown situation. You're a man who likes control. You like predictability. You don't like surprises. You like routine. You're not going to bring waffles and bananas?
No. And I'll tell you why.
Please.
Matzah doesn't rot. You know, banana will rot. Waffle will go bad because it has to be in the freezer. And the matzah will stay for you even you take it to space. How about that?
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Yehiel, thanks so much for joining me on the Sporkful.
Thank you as well. You know, it was a pleasure.
All right, here we are. The Echo Park Time Travel Mart. Whenever you are, we're already then. All right, it's got a small storefront with big display windows on either side of the door. One of the display windows has a giant caveman statue. Well, I don't know if it's giant, more like life size, caveman size, as I would imagine a caveman or person. A mannequin in the window, dressed like a caveman. It's like a mini convenience store, metal shelves, just a couple of short aisles. All right, let's go inside. The slushy machine is out of order. It says come back yesterday. These seem to be some foods from the past. Mammoth chunks, bold mammothy flavor. 100% woolly mammoth meat. May contain up to 30% mastodon meat. Well, typical. Let's see, there are in the cooler here. Oh, this looks like it's for the future. Jupiter Farms robot milk. 100% non-organic, fresh and wholesome quality since 2830. Time travel sickness pills. For prevention and treatment of acute chronal dysphoria, parallel dementia, the shifts, and time tummy. All right, I'm going to get these time travel sickness pills, just in case. Hi, I'd like these time travel sickness pills, please.
Yeah, no problem.
I think I'm going to attempt to travel through time here in this episode. That's what I'm going to attempt to do. I have to right a wrong of a time when I meant to buy a piece of cake at a diner in Toluca Lake, and I failed to buy the cake when I should have. And I'm going to go back there today, and I'm going to attempt to go. I'm going to attempt to eat that cake. That's what time travel is for, right? You go back, you change a mistake, right? That's what I'm going to do. All right. Well, have a great day.
Yeah. Thanks for coming back.
You probably already know how my day's going to go.
Looks really good. This is going to be a slice of cake in your near future.
Do people make that joke all the time?
Even cornier jokes than that.
What's the corniest joke people make when they come in here?
They'll like walk in and be like, oh, it's nice to see you again. But that's my line.
All right, take care. All right, that didn't actually take too long. Still pretty early in the day. Let's take another look at this Atlas Obscura list of weird stuff to do in LA. Next up on the list, underground tunnels of Los Angeles. During Prohibition, corrupt city officials ran drinking dens under the streets of downtown LA. These 11 miles of service tunnels became passageways to basement speakeasies with innocuous fronts above ground. King Eddie's Saloon, which has been around since 1906, fronted as a piano store with a secret speakeasy in the basement. Now an official saloon once more, its basement still remains part of the tunnel system. I mean, if I can go through some cool tunnels and end up at a saloon, that's pretty good. It says the tunnels have been used by police to transport prisoners, bank security to move large sums of cash safely, and it's been used by both coroners and mobsters to store bodies. Oh, officially, the tunnels are closed to the public. So I guess I'm gonna have to be a little discreet. But here we go, I'm gonna try to find these tunnels. I'm gonna try to find the entrance to the tunnels, and I'm gonna follow them to the King Eddie Saloon. Now, looking at the map here, it's not too far. I could get a lift, it's about 2 miles, but I think I'm gonna walk it. Another audio recording tip, hang out by church bells. All right, so, they done? I'm walking away from the church bell. Stop! So, a little update since the last time we spoke. We're on Temple Street in downtown LA. and I see the Hall of Records building, which looks kind of like a giant fortress. It looks exactly like how where they would keep the records, like in Blade Runner. And I'm gonna, let's see, can we pull out the directions now? To explore the former highway of the LA Underground, you must slip behind the Hall of Records on Temple Street and locate an easy-to-miss elevator. I'm heading behind. Let's look back here. All right, I'm behind the Hall of Records. There's some big metal rusted out doors back here. Let's see. This door's locked. There's a small park back here. There's like some grass and benches, and I see, hang on, there's a little structure over there. Let's check this out. Okay, I think as I approach, I think these are looking like elevators. I've never seen elevators that you enter directly from the outdoors, but I guess when you live in a place where it never rains, that's something you can do. Yep, these are elevators. Let's give this a shot. Let's see where these elevators go. There's 1, 2, 3, or M. I'm gonna hit them all. I'm gonna hit all the buttons. I'm gonna see what we see. This elevator looks like an elevator from a horror movie. It's completely rusted out. There's graffiti everywhere. Not even like nice graffiti, just like vandalism. Okay, first floor, let's see what we see. Is this seriously an actual government building? This looks like the hospital from Stranger Things. I'm gonna get back in the elevator. What the hell is this place? It literally looks like an abandoned hospital. The walls aren't just peeling, like you can see the metal mesh, you can see inside the walls, themselves. There are giant holes in the walls. Restricted area, authorized personnel only. All right, there's a rope, like those dividers they have like at the airport to like make the lines when you're lining up, and there's a thing barricading this hall, but I'm gonna go down here and check it out. Okay, I just came around the corner and there's a hallway that just like, the hallway just ends with a concrete wall. It's like they sealed it off. I'm gonna try to open this door. Okay. Coming up, the search for the tunnels continues. Stick around.
And now, a delicious word from our sponsors.
It's very good.
Norwegian Cruise Line breaks the boundaries of global cruise travel. When you cruise with NCL, you're going to get award-winning specialty restaurants, a variety of food and beverage offerings, immersive entertainment, and the most thrilling experiences at sea. It is first class. These ships have all kinds of specialty restaurants, Brazilian steakhouse, French, Spanish, Italian, Japanese, Mexican. Select ships also feature al fresco dining on the waterfront and Ocean Boulevard, an oceanside promenade lined with bars and restaurants. Norwegian provides guests with truly authentic and fresh dining and bar experiences complemented by exceptional service. Almost everything you'll eat is prepared from scratch by highly experienced chefs. And they got whatever you're going to be in the mood for. You want a quick casual family meal? They've got that. You want a beautiful four-course feast? They've got that too. And you can sip something delicious at one of up to 23 unique bar and lounge options per ship. Visit and explore exciting destinations around the world and enjoy unique experiences on board. With no set dining and entertainment times and no formal dress codes, you have the flexibility to design your ideal vacation. Book your next adventure at ncl.com. Recently, I went into my closet to try to get a collared shirt out, and it occurred to me that I don't think I have bought a new collared shirt in 5 years. I mean, every shirt in there was either really old, or it had some kind of perma-stain situation, or it probably never fit right in the first place. I gotta freshen up a little bit here. It's time for something new, right? And spring is coming. Now is the time if you've been looking to refresh your wardrobe, home, or skincare and beauty routines this season. Because, you know, Walmart has genuinely surprising style finds that don't break the bank. This spring, there's only one destination for the latest fashion, home, and beauty inspired by real life. Walmart. I freshened up my wardrobe. I got some nice dress shirts, a couple light hoodies. You know, you need light hoodies for the springtime. Very useful, very comfortable. Discover surprisingly stylish new season favorites at Walmart now. Or shop it all on the Walmart app. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending. Now trending, your style at Walmart. I enjoy a nice glass of wine, but I don't pretend to be an expert in wine. I usually just want a wine that's high quality, delicious, and not too expensive. And to me, that's Bogle Family Vineyards. And here's the thing about Bogle. This is a third generation family-owned winery from California that makes exceptional wines for about $10 a bottle. Bogle wines consistently earn Best Buy designations and high ratings from Wine Enthusiast. And let me tell you something. The folks at Wine Enthusiast, they drink a lot of wine. They drink a lot of fancy, expensive wine. And yet they still keep giving great ratings to Bogle. And Bogle Vineyards has so many different kinds of wine. Whatever your mood, whatever you're eating, there's a wine for you. They got this great Pinot Grigio that's crisp and fruity, goes well with spicy foods, with fish. They have a classic Chardonnay that's balanced, amazing with a pork tenderloin or butter chicken. I like to take that Chardonnay and do what Jacques Pepin taught me, a couple of ice cubes in your glass of Bogle. If Jacques Pepin says it's okay, then it's okay. And there's the Bogle Pinot Noir, refined and elegant with bright fruit and about as food-friendly as a red wine can be. You're not going to believe it's only $10. Neither will your friends if you tell them. So pick up a few bottles of Bogle wherever you buy your favorite wines. Please drink responsibly. I continue to get a lot of flack for my PB&J technique, okay? Jelly on the top, jelly on the bottom, peanut butter in the middle. That's the way to go. And the first thing people say is, well, when you spread the jelly on both sides and then spread the peanut butter on top, you're going to tear the bread. And my answer to you is, use better bread. Like Hero Bread. You get that whole wheat Hero Bread, it's got some grain, it's got some heft, it's got some flavor, it's got some texture, and it will stand up to my excellent PB&J technique. Hero makes delicious breads that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, but plenty of protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, a savory breakfast burrito, or a mouthwatering cheeseburger, you can have all that with Hero Breads. And let me tell you, we are a big burrito-eating family in our house. Breakfast burritos happen multiple times a week, and these Hero Flour Tortillas are perfect for it. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co, that's hero.co, and use code Sporkful at checkout for that discount. That's code Sporkful at hero.co. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. You know, people always ask me, what are some of your favorite things to eat? What are some of your favorite restaurants? Where do you eat when you travel? Well, there are two ways for you to get that information on a regular basis. First, follow me on Instagram at TheSporkful. You can do it right now while you're listening. And second, subscribe to our newsletter. With that newsletter, you get to find out not only what I'm eating, but also what the whole Sporkful team is eating every week. We share recipes we're cooking, dishes we're enjoying, and also just random articles we're reading, shows we're watching. It's a lot of fun, and I think it's going to make your life at least 1% better. So you should subscribe right now. Go to sporkful.com/newsletter. Okay, back to the show. I'm gonna try to open this door. Okay. Where are these tunnels? I feel like, hang on, I'm gonna Google. Oh, no service down here, of course. Of course, they shut off service in the haunted building. They don't want you to be able to escape. I'm going back to the surface. Try to get reception. All right. I'm reading through this. Press 2 to go down. Okay. I went down to level 3. I went too far. Ride an escalator up a level and straight ahead of the tunnels. I'm going back. I'm turning left. I found the escalators. I am so freaking excited right now, / terrified. I'm in. I'm in the tunnel. It's just concrete. Concrete floors, concrete walls. You could get seriously lost in here. It just keeps going. There's fluorescent lighting ahead and huge pipes above my head. Pipes big enough for people to move through. Like the infrastructure of a city. There's some people coming along this way that look like they're law enforcement, so I'm going to turn around and walk back the other way. Because that... I'm going to try not to get arrested. Oh my god, you guys, the coolest thing just happened. I turned back the way I came. I walked away from the cops, and then I turned back, and just as I was coming back, I heard those voices. And it was those two cops that I had walked away from, and they turned and walked in the opposite direction from me. Just like in the movies, where like I walked away from them, and I hid around a corner, and then when I turned back, they walked in the opposite direction. They're chatting with each other. They didn't even see me. All right, I'm going back in. Back into the bowels. It's a nice scary sound. It is really cool to be down here and think about, like, they're transporting mobsters, criminals, and giant piles of cash. The mayor is transporting the liquor stash during Prohibition. All happening right underneath the city. I'm like just a few feet underneath the city. This is actually reminding me of what Yahil, the Lyft driver, said before. He was saying he went back in time, but he went underground by the Western Wall in Jerusalem. Like you dig back beneath those sedimentary layers. It's like I'm literally going through the past, walking on these paths that all these secret things happened in Los Angeles, right underneath people's feet. All right, I'm back above ground. I walked a lot in those tunnels. I went a long ways in one end and came to a dead end. I went way back. I went back in a whole other direction. I came to some basement record keeping room that I don't think I was supposed to be in. Turned back, walked down another third long tunnel that I just kept going and going. You thought you're getting to the end. You get to the end, then there's a bend and it's another long tunnel with no end in sight. And I went for a while, but I finally decided that I should turn back before I went so far that I could not escape. So I am back, I am out, and I've decided to walk to the King Eddie Saloon on street level. While we walk, let's read up a little bit more on this King Eddie Saloon. Let's see, the interwebs tells me that it opened in 1906 and it's the last of the old bars near LA's Skid Row. They say writer Charles Bukowski hung out at the King Eddie. It was hugely popular for its first 50 years. It made it through Prohibition. And it was a key location, a prime location, because the old streetcar line ran right past it. But then when LA's streetcar system started dying out, the whole area began to decline.
A little Godzilla, baby Godzilla. Go check it out.
So I've made it inside the King Eddie. It is it's a dive bar, which, and I don't mean that term to have judgment or hipster baggage. The walls are black, very little decoration. It's very spare. They have a few beers in cans, no beers on tap. Tables are kind of chewed up a little, but fine, perfectly nice. There's an ATM in the corner, a couple TVs, some Christmas lights. I will say, I don't feel like I'm being transported back to 1933. Maybe more like 1983. Mr. Hayward, my name is Dan. Nice to meet you, sir.
What is this?
This is a microphone. Is it okay if I use this in your vicinity?
I guess so. What do you want to know?
How long you been coming to this bar?
First time, 1967.
1967.
I first got out of the service, came down, I got a job for a coat and tie. I walked in the first time with a coat and tie, everybody looked at me. What are you doing here? So I went to other places.
You until you weren't wearing a coat and tie anymore, and that's when you came back?
I haven't worn a coat and tie in, well, since the early 80s.
Okay.
This is the man you want to talk. I'll do it, I don't mind, but this guy has way more history.
This is the guy I want to talk to.
Yeah, this is Pancake.
Pancake?
Pancake is the real mayor of L.A.
But you're a Pancake?
I am Mr. Pancake, sir.
Mr. Pancake, sorry.
Yes, sir.
I'm Dan, it's nice to meet you.
You too, Dan.
So, how long have you been coming to this bar?
Since the 80s.
And what drew you to it?
Well, my dad used to come here in his lifetime. He was born in 1919.
So your dad was a regular
in
this
bar. His spirit is still here.
Wow.
But he knew that.
What are you drinking, Mr. Pancake?
Well, this H2O, two hydrogen, one oxygen.
Got it.
For now. Yep. I'm getting ready to leave now, but I'm employed right here. I'm a community organizer, but I do some accounting in the area also.
So you seem like the kind of guy who likes to be in the center of things.
Yeah, well, not the center of things, a part of process. I'm an initiator.
Yes.
Through conversation.
Yeah.
I would say this in closing, that King Eddie's to me is not just an organization, a business, it's an organism, because it requires people. It's about the people here.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Pancake.
You're quite welcome, Daniel.
What's your name, sir?
Joel.
You're the bartender?
Yes.
What can you tell me about the history of this place?
The building itself goes back to, I believe, 1903. When Prohibition kicked in, they turned the bar into a piano store. And through a secret door, you could actually access the basement where the speakeasy was.
Are the tunnels still underneath this place right now?
They are, but everything is blocked now, so there is no access to the tunnels. There is access to the basement, which still has some of the old murals from the Prohibition time.
Is it possible to... Can I see the murals?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Do
sure.
I just, do I need to... Can I just go down there and check them out?
Yeah, let me open for you.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Rob Brighton indeed.
That's
Rob
this Brighton. Guy.
All right, the bartender Joel is leading me to the back of the bar.
Okay, sounds good.
Be right. Careful, because we have no insurance.
We're going down like a dark stairwell.
This door had a sliding window, and you knock on it, and we're not sure if you had to pay to get in or give the secret password to it.
So this is like, there's like a brick wall here that's been painted over, but there's still like a boarded up little window here. So you'd bang on this door right here. We're like underground.
And then the door window will slide. And then someone will let you in through here.
So we're in a room underground. Now this is like storage for the bar, basically.
Yes.
But wait, yeah. Was this the speakeasy?
Yes. The stairs that we just walked into, that was one way to come in. And that was through the piano store, that boarded door you see over there. That was the one that led to the tunnels that run along Main Street.
And now, so this basically feels like the basement of someone's, like an unfinished basement of someone's house. You see the pipes, there's random tables, there's like old bar stools and old sinks and things. But, oh wow, look at this. There's like these paintings of like old stone pillars painted on the walls, and all these pictures of casks of alcohol pouring out pints of beer and things.
Yeah, so this was the...
And these paintings, these murals, go back to Prohibition.
Yes, correct. You see the little hole in this wall?
Right, there's like a boarded up wooden wall here, but there's one hole about the size of a liquor bottle.
Yeah, so this is where you will get your drinks from. There, I mean, this was a very high-end speakeasy, you know. So it was full service with waiters and waitresses and maitre d's and you name it. So you know, tables were set up and everything. So, you know, once the waiter had your drink order, the waiter will come in and request a drink.
So we're right underneath. I mean, this is like downtown LA is right over our heads.
Yeah, pretty much. And there is a really cool thing that I learned when I went on a tour. There is a company that does a tour of underground LA. On that wall, you see that tree over there?
Yeah, it's like a painting of a tree, like where the Smurfs would live, or like the Keebler Elves tree, except sort of dark and demented. All the branches are kind of like gnarled and twisted.
So apparently the branches are actually, I mean, the tree itself is a map. So the branches are the, you know, ways for you to navigate underground. So Wow. Those are supposedly tunnels.
So it's like a secret map.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm assuming that it will actually probably help them too, in case the place got raided, you know, and you needed to leave right away. Just try to not get stuck.
All right, Joel had to go back upstairs. He's got to work the bar. But I'm just down here, still in the basement. It's just amazing to stand in this room, to see these murals. I sort of picture that the map is over like in a little kind of corner area, like a little alcove in the basement. And I kind of imagine like some couches and tables there. You can kind of feel it. Like I can picture the people in here. I can picture them dressed really nicely, sneaking in. A little music playing. All right, I think it's time for coconut cake. I'm outside Patty's. I am here. I'm here for the first time in years. I am actually like truly nervous. Like, what if they don't have it again? You know, like I figured that it was just bad luck that one day they didn't have it. But what if it was good luck the day they did have it? And I'm going to know the second I walk in, because I remember exactly where it was displayed, right on the counter, right next to the register, right when you walk in. It was like, when that first time I came in, it was the first thing I saw when I walked in the door. All right, I'm going in. Oh my God, they have it. They have the coconut cake. Holy smokes. It looks just the way I remember it. Bright white, huge. It's not triple decker, it's double decker, but each deck is like a cake. It's like a double cake. It's at least 6 inches high, covered in frosting. You see the coconut flakes.
You need a menu?
I do not need a menu, thank you, because I know exactly what I want. I've come a long ways for a slice of that coconut cake.
Slice of coconut cake? Please, and you want some coffee, iced tea?
Coffee would be great. That'll go well, right?
Okay. Think? Thank you.
Can I get a second slice of coconut cake to go, please?
Okay, so one for here and one to go.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Oh my God, it's cut. It looks even better than I imagined.
Enjoy.
Thank you. I'm gonna go with a sip of coffee first. Something a little hot and bitter. I think that's going to accentuate the creamy coconut sweetness. And just look at it. There are flakes of coconut all over it. Oh, thank you. The slice to go is here. Thank you. Oh, wait. It's my wife, Janie. Hold on. Hello?
Hi.
Hey, you're on speakerphone at Patty's Restaurant in Burbank, California. Remember when we came to visit Missy and Kenny?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you live right near Patty's restaurant. I just was there the other day and I didn't get the slice of coconut cake that I meant to get. And then I felt very upset. Right. So can I walk down the street and get it? And Kenny and I walked down here and...
They were out, I think?
Yeah. And how did I feel about that?
Like in tears.
Well, guess what I'm doing right now?
You're eating the coconut cake?
Yes. And I am about to take my first bite. Hold on. Please just stay right there on the phone. I'm going to take my first bite right now. Hold on. Mmm. It is so good. You'll be happy to know that I ordered a second slice of coconut cake to bring home to you.
Okay, great. Are you by yourself?
Not now that you're here.
Why don't you call Kenny? He's like 3 blocks away.
I was going to, but I didn't know when I'd be arriving, and the whole thing's been kind of last minute. I'm just running around LA like a madman. I traveled through time. I've been righting wrongs from my past. It's been really great.
Okay, great.
If you could travel through time and right a wrong or do something differently, what would it be?
I don't know. I think I need a little more time to think about it.
Okay.
It probably wouldn't be like a food thing.
No, probably not. You'd probably like kill Hitler or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you go kill Hitler. I'm here with my cake.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm getting on a plane in 12 hours. I'll be home soon with cake. Love you.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
The cake is so light. Woo! This is worth the wait. And you know what I'm realizing as I sit here? Time travel is a bad idea. You shouldn't go back in time and change the past, because this cake tastes better because I waited so long. I had to go through that experience. I had to feel that heartbreak for this to feel so victorious. Mmm. One final note. When I got back to my hotel after the adventure, I was really drained and full. I didn't really feel my best. And then I remembered my time travel sickness pills. Oh, they're like gummy mints with a hard shell. Hard shell gummy mints. The mint is soothing to my stomach. I do feel better already. What do you know? They worked. If you want your own time travel sickness pills, the Time Travel Mart has an online store. And actually, the whole place is a fundraising front for a great nonprofit called 826, which is national and offers free writing programs for students. So go buy something and support their work at timetravelmart.com. Next week on the show, we're live on stage in Brooklyn with Vanessa Pham, co-founder of Omsam, and Chitra Agarwal, founder of Brooklyn Deli. Both women run packaged food businesses that are bringing Asian flavors to a broader American audience. So what are the challenges and opportunities of doing that? It's a great conversation. Listen next week to find out. And don't forget to check out last week's show with Phil Rosenthal, creator of Everybody Loves Raymond and host of Somebody Feed Phil. Finally, subscribe to our newsletter so you don't miss an episode and you'll know what I and the others on the Sporkful team are eating. Do that at sporkful.com/newsletter. Thanks. This show was originally produced by me along with Ann Sani and Aviva de Kornfeld. It was edited by Rob McGinley Myers and mixed by the Reverend John Delore. This update was produced by Emma Morgenstern and mixed by Jared O'Connell. Music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher. Our executive producers are Eric Eddings and Colin Anderson. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Thaddeus from South Pasadena.
And I'm Hannah from South Pasadena, reminding you to eat more,
eat better,
and eat more better.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.